a great bit. Bit bust. Morales.
Why was it a bit bust?
I have no idea. I don't know why it was a bit bust. What do you mean? Sounds like
Morales is right. Bit bust.
Yeah, Bergman won the weekend so far. He's 4-1. It ended up being a really easy weekend to pick. If you took the favorites and the 49ers, and I think we all thought the 49ers were going to win, you're undefeated right now. Baby Daniel, toddler Daniel, 2-3, and Sophie, after getting off to a 2-0 start, is 2-3. She even picked the lowly Steelers to beat the Chiefs.
Bergman, you can't lose. Even if you lose tonight, who do you have tonight?
I have the Rams tonight. Doesn't matter. Either way.
Can I get this out of the way early?
Yeah.
Very nervous for your Rams tonight, Mace.
Oh, come on.
Very nervous.
Well,
all
go
of
ahead.
The numbers kind of point to the Cardinals.
How? What numbers?
They're 8-1 in the road this year.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, the only game they lost was in Detroit. Kind of weird. The road team won both of the Ram Cardinals games this year. And I think, just instinctually, I trust Kyler Murray more than I trust Matthew Stafford.
Oh, I don't.
Wait a minute. You were 2 weeks ago, you were ready to run Matthew Stafford out of town.
Yeah, I think he's better than Kyler Murray. I mean, I think if you were to do a ladder of quarterbacks, I rank Matthew Stafford above Kyler Murray.
Bergman,
Kyler Murray,
who ranks above on your ladder?
Stafford. I put Stafford ahead.
Yeah, I mean, he threw 41 touchdown passes. I mean, he's made huge mistakes, but he did throw for the third most yards in the league and 41 touchdown passes. Look, Kyler's no shine for that.
Kyler has fell off towards the end of the year. He started off great, and I know that Stafford kind of did the same thing, but he made some terrible, terrible decisions down the stretch.
Well, both teams kind of ended weird. Like, I think the Cardinals lost 3 out of 4 down the stretch, and the Rams blew that game to San Francisco. And so the Cardinals are coming off a win. The Rams are coming off a loss. But
fair, I mean, an overtime loss to what is clearly a pretty damn good team that beat Dallas over the weekend.
Yeah, by the way, let me get this before one of you guys grab it. $10,000 on the Niners. I don't even care what the spread is in Green Bay.
Oh, I hope you're right.
Because, Mace, that means if your team can win 2 games, you would get the NFC Championship game at SoFi.
Yeah. If we win, we go to Tampa, which is good. Which is good. And Niners
Yeah, they've already
Green
beaten
Bay.
Tampa twice in the last 2 years.
Niners got a puncher's chance against Green Bay. I would not be surprised if they won that game. And I would much rather see Green Bay out of the playoffs. They could do us a favor. Could you imagine if it's I'm putting the cart
way ahead of the horse. Yeah, I was just going to say.
I'm not even going to talk about that.
Yeah.
John, Green Bay is currently a 5.5-point favorite.
All right, so I get 5.5.
5.5. Actually,
right, I'll take
yes.
it.
Or there's 5. You got +5.5. That's the best.
Yeah, I'll take it.
Mythical Money, Ireland, you won $10,000 on the Niners, but lost $1,000 by betting on Sophie to win the weekend.
Yeah, already lost that. I thought Sophie would at least keep me in it. But
I am still alive. I've got $40,000 on no overtime games, as long as tonight doesn't go to overtime. And frankly, thank God. Oh, God, overtime is so hard to watch.
I don't know if you could survive overtime.
I would just keel over. As long as tonight I'll win $10,000, I'm at 91,000. You're at 108, and Bergman won $20,000 over the weekend. He's at 120, so he is off to a good start in Mythical Money.
Like usual.
Yeah. Let's see who's leading at the end.
Me.
Yeah. Right. How'd that go for you last year?
I came in second. Get out of here. All right. Go ahead.
So let's talk about tonight a little bit. You know, I think one of the keys to this game is going to be the Rams secondary. Now, they don't have DeAndre Hopkins, but we don't have Jordan Fuller, who's gone for the year. We don't have Taylor Rapp, who didn't clear concussion protocol. We do have Eric Weddle, and we do have Blake Countess to fill in, but it's going to be a heavy lift. I don't know what to expect from Eric Weddle tonight. Like, I saw McVay over the weekend said, could be 10 snaps, could be 30 snaps. I don't know.
Well, I hope it's not 30. But here's the one thing you have that they don't. You have Aaron Donald and Leonard Floyd.
Yes.
That should make the job of the secondary much easier. Now, I think not having DeAndre Hopkins is a huge loss for the Cardinals. I think they haven't looked like the same team since then.
I agree.
But Stafford's the wild card. He's never won a playoff game. He's thrown so many bad interceptions, a lot of them pick sixes. If he can just keep the turnovers under control, just not turn it over, I think the Rams win. But that's a big if.
It's a big if. It's a big if. And I don't think there is any athlete, any quarterback, any player over the weekend in super wild card weekend that has more pressure on them than Matthew Stafford. I mean, he's never won a playoff game. And he was the anointed one. He is the one that Sean McVay and Les Snead moved heaven and earth to get because he was the guy that was going to get it. You know what? If we were to lose tonight, we'd be exactly where we were. We'd be one game shy. We would actually – last year we won the divisional – or we won wild card week.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we won wild card week. So, I mean, I think that the pressure is squarely on him. And to a degree also – on Sean McVay and Les Snead, who went out and got this guy. You know, they need him to perform. You've got to perform in big moments, and this is one of them.
Not only that, I think that we live in an era, particularly with Les Snead, that they're not afraid to move on if they don't think you can do the job. And I wonder if the reason the Rams don't win tonight was Stafford and Russell Wilson sitting out there, a bunch of other potential quarterbacks are sitting out there. Deshaun Watson may be sitting out there. Jimmy Garoppolo may be sitting out there. I wonder if Stafford would be one and done. But now I'm putting the cart
right
before
now.
The
cart is way before
right.
The horse.
Now I'm saying like the Rams could lose this game and Matt Stafford could play great. The Rams
Go out and light him up and he could blow him out.
Right. And then, you know, you move it to Tampa and see what happens. But I love the matchup against Tampa. Matter of fact, I wish they were playing Tampa tonight instead of the Cardinals. Wouldn't you? Don't you think they match up better against Tampa Bay than they do against Arizona?
Cardinals are a lot harder. You know what bothers me about Tampa is we already beat them once. I always think it's tougher to beat a team a second time.
We beat Arizona, too.
Yeah, we beat Arizona. Arizona.
But
we lost
more
to them
recently.
Once. Right? This is a rubber match between the two. Tampa, we beat them early in the season. I would much rather play Tampa than Green Bay, going to Green Bay.
True.
You've got the weather as a wild card. You've got, you know, Aaron Rodgers is having a great year. I mean, arguably, I mean, they are the two best quarterbacks, along with Mahomes. Those are the three best quarterbacks in football, Brady, Rodgers, and Mahomes.
Man, your first playoff game in SoFi, right?
Yeah.
You didn't go to a playoff game in SoFi last year, did you?
No, didn't. Didn't get to go. Nobody could go. Tonight, and by the way, Rams fans, come on. Come on. Got to get out there, make noise. You know what I do? John, you know what I do? Every single third down when we are on defense, I stand up. I don't care who's behind me. I don't care who's in front of me. I don't care for the
–
well,
no
one's
in front
of
you, right?
Yeah, nobody's in front of me. That's true. But I always stand up. I think everybody – don't you think that's something everybody should do? If you're a fan, don't you think you should stand up when you're on defense and it's third down?
I'll take it a step further. I would stand up if I was a fan of the other team. I love third down. I think that – and by the way, you know, we got to expect that there'll be some Cardinal fans there tonight.
They traveled okay. They didn't travel – they weren't one of the bigger fan bases that came out this year. There's always – an opposing section. It's usually in that far end zone where they stick all the opposing fans. They weren't one of the bigger traveling teams this year. Tampa was a big traveling team, not so much. And San Francisco was a big traveling team, but the Cardinals weren't so much. But the Rams got to make noise tonight. You heard Kelly Stafford. You heard my girl Kelly Stafford out there saying you got to make some noise.
Well, I think her main plea was, don't sell your seats.
Yeah, don't sell your seats.
Don't give up your seats to Cardinal fans.
Well, you were under the impression that you have control over who you sell your seats to.
I was, yeah. But I forgot that most people now go to a ticket exchange. Like,
yeah. You have no idea
have tickets,
like what area code or anything.
If I have
like
tickets
that.
To an event, I always like personally either sell them or give them away.
What, privately? You have a private sale?
No, I just tell like friends or someone I know, or most of the time I just give them away. But I wouldn't give them to Cardinal fans, you know, if I had Rams season tickets and I couldn't go, I'd make, like, if the Rams play the Niners in the NFC Championship game and for any reason you can't go, you can't give the tickets to Jorge.
Oh, God, no.
I mean, earlier in the season, I think you did give him tickets.
Do we have a Jorge update, by the way? Jorge has been down with COVID. What's the Jorge update, Bergman?
My button's not working, but I do not have an update, but I will talk to him and see
what
he's
good.
The last time I talked to him, it sounded like he could be back as soon as Thursday.
Yeah,
that
he's good.
That would be his 10 days.
He feels better.
10 days, so that would be good. And in the meantime, we've got Laura, who went undefeated this weekend.
Thank you. Yes, I did, even though they're petitioning to have my 5-5 picks revoked.
Why?
I understand why.
What's the issue?
So nobody asked me on either show, neither this one nor Sit on a Cap.
How inconsiderate. How inconsiderate.
Right? Nobody asked me about my picks, and I was like, okay, I'm going to keep them quiet.
You know she's talking about us, Mason.
I know, I'm saying.
You just called yourself inconsiderate.
I was inconsiderate.
Go ahead, Laura.
So nobody asked me, and then a listener asked me on Twitter, like, hey, what are your picks? Because they tagged Momo and Mace and forgot Greg. I even said, hey, you forgot Greg. And then because of the timestamp, because I did it at 2:49, mind you, I also work another job, so I can't be on Twitter like that.
Right.
So because it was after the Raider game had started, they said it didn't count, even though I picked Cincinnati.
Yeah. Now, wait a minute. How far into the Raider game was it?
It was an hour-ish after.
Hmm.
Yeah.
But my thing is, I had my picks. Nobody asked me.
The Fez would tell you that once the game starts, the betting window is closed.
Right. And I understand that. My thing is, I could have told you guys earlier.
Did you tell anyone? Do you have a text, a tweet to someone else?
No.
You didn't tell anyone.
A conversation with a close personal friend.
If I was your lawyer, is there any evidence I could use to clear you of this?
I have a conversation, but it's like audio, you know, and I didn't record it. So.
Yeah. Who was the conversation with?
One of my friends.
Hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I get. That's why I was like, look, I'm not going to fight you guys on it. I'll take
my 4-4. Well, as always, we take a vote. Did Laura go 5-for-5? Vote yes.
Okay, now wait a minute. Laura, I don't know if I'm allowed to reveal this. Am I allowed to reveal the reason I called you the other night?
Yeah. I actually said on air that I got caught.
Oh, yeah, we talked about that.
Okay, all right. So Laura was out the other night, and she didn't know how it was going to go, so I gave her the lifesaver phone call, like 10 minutes into this. She's having a drink with a guy, and 10 minutes into it, I called her, and I was going to say, hey, I need you to come get me, you know, in case she had to get up and leave, but she said, no, I'm good. Did you mention to that guy at any point your picks?
Oh man!
Yeah, that was.
You
that
know
was
what? I gotta ask because we did talk football, so I'm gonna ask.
Okay,
but I don't think we did.
If he could vouch for you, then I think you're off the hook.
Okay.
If not, I actually vote
out to be a total friend zone.
Yeah,
it was
friend zone. Yeah.
But if there's no other evidence, Bergman, Laura, you know I love you, but I have to vote against you. It was an hour into the Raider game, and there is no proof. It would set a horrible precedent. Mason's just caving because he doesn't want Laura to be mad at him.
I'm a big Laura fan.
Right.
I don't think she'd lie.
Bergman,
Laura.
I vote no.
Yeah, I am also going to say that, first of all, Mason is being soft, and this is...
Exactly. Mason is being soft. He doesn't want to look like he's picking on a girl.
He's caving. The integrity of Laura.
No offense. She did great. 4-for-4 is fantastic. Really good. I
will take the 4-for-4 because I know Vegas rules, and that's what you guys are going with.
Yep.
I just say no one asked me, so you guys can't be mad at the timestamp.
Shouldn't you be mad at your show that you're on every
our show. You're
being very nice and filling in for us, but your own show should be like, hey, Laura, what's your picks?
So,
I think it's a terrible precedent to like let you say, oh, sure, I believe you.
Okay, I lose, Laura. Remember,
it's
who
okay.
stuck up for
I
you.
Know. I thank you, Mason. And just to defend my other show, I wasn't on any of the picks the entire season.
Oh, wow. They left you out of everything. Wow.
So that's
that really
probably why they left me out.
Yeah, they're terrible. All right. So, by the way, the Fez, you know, the world's greatest gambling tout in the history of the world, the smartest gambler on the planet, had Tampa versus Philly under the 46, landed on 46. So he loses.
Oh, ouch.
That is a really tough way to lose.
That is a bad beat, man. Oh, so did you get off your couch at all this weekend, or did you just watch all the games?
I just pretty much watched all the games. I think I watched a movie maybe at some point Saturday, but that's it. I never left the house for the most part. I was just watching football. Although, you know what? During the Buffalo game, I drifted away. During the Kansas City game last night, I think I switched over and watched an episode of The Righteous Gemstones, which I think is the most funny, underrated show on TV. with John Goodman. And that game was just a blowout. So a couple of the blowouts I checked out of. But, I mean, for the most part, the Dallas-San Francisco game was great.
Unbelievable.
I thought Dallas had a real chance at the end. I thought that the Raiders-Bengals game was really, really good. I mean, there's great football this
week. We got screwed by the refs.
Yeah, let's talk about that coming up. They got screwed by the refs. Also, and you said you're nervous about tonight. You're nervous for the Rams.
For you, yeah.
I am also. I'm nervous before every game. I am so nervous to the point where Juan will look at me at some point tonight and say, "Are you even enjoying this?" I get so worked
up. You know, it's a fair question. Did you see all the people crying in the stands at the Cowboy game?
Oh, God, those poor, I was rooting against them. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
So the Raiders lose, and as always happens with the Raiders, it seems like, they always, quote-unquote, get screwed. And this particular time, it's absolutely correct. In fact, the officiating crew that screwed this up has actually been removed from the rest of the postseason. John, describe what happened.
So Joe Burrow's scrambling. He's moving to his right. And he's coming close to going out of bounds. And he throws a pass right before he goes out of bounds. And while the pass is in the air, one of the officials clearly blows a whistle.
Yep.
And now I don't know, to be honest, Mace, even though I'm a Raider fan, I don't know if it would have made a difference on the play. It was
pretty
late in the throw, to be honest.
Yeah, I agree with you. It happened so late. Tyler Boyd was open in the end zone, and I don't think the Raiders' defenders reacted that quickly to the whistle. He was going to be open no matter what.
Just to be fair, Drew Brees did say that the timing on the clip is off. So it actually, the whistle blew before when you heard it on the clip.
Well, I thought so too. When I watched it, I clearly heard a whistle as soon as Burrow let the ball go, and I figure, oh, he must have stepped out of bounds. And then the officials huddle, and they say touchdown. Now, what's not in dispute is that somebody blew a whistle before Tyler Boyd
yes.
caught the ball. And the second that happens, everything stops.
Yep,
you can't allow that. And by the way, whoever the referee was that NBC had working for him, who Tirico brought in, said, yeah, that's you replay the down. That's it. Now, Mace, the interesting thing is, did the officials just think that Greg said something interesting during the break, and he's right. When you know the names of the officials, that's never good. The lead official was a guy named Jerome Boger. Did Boger really think that, you know, everything is in high def with parabolic microphones? Did he really think no one would notice?
Yeah, I either way, somebody was going to get screwed, right?
Right.
Either way, like, if they enforced it to the letter, well, Joe Burrow was inbounds, made a great throw, should have been a touchdown. I don't know what they were watching, listening to. Every scoring play gets reviewed. Now, does it get reviewed on the field, or does it get reviewed in New York?
I think in New York. In the NBA, it happens in Secaucus.
So how in New York didn't they overturn it?
I don't know. And then now they're blaming it on the crew. But the thing, to me, this seems like a pretty short conversation. You bring all the officials in, and you say, did anybody blow a whistle? And at that point, knowing that there's evidence, there's video and audio evidence, and you can't lie about it, somebody should have said, yeah, I did. I blew a whistle when the ball was in the air. Okay, right then, play's dead. We replayed the down.
Over.
And so now, and I don't know, again, don't know if it would have made a difference in the play. Frankly, don't know if the Raiders would have come back and won the game. But now that's all we're talking about.
Yeah.
You know, so I again, just like the Tuck rule, I feel like they got rooked.
The Raiders have been wronged.
You're right. which is how you always feel as a Raider fan.
Yes.
But on the other side,
the
like
world is against you.
You were saying that Tony DeNiro would be the coach if they won a game, and now that they didn't win a game, Bob Valvano can't be the coach next year.
Yeah. Tony Bisaccia, who I think Raider fans,
Rich,
other than you, probably appreciate.
What did Mason call him?
Tony.
Okay.
Oh, Rich Bisaccia.
Okay.
I'm not a Raiders fan, but I would think Raiders fans are appreciative of the fact that he took this took this and somehow got it turned around and
we thank
put together
him,
a string.
We thank him for his time, and he can go back to being the special teams coach if he wants.
So here's – this is interesting. Interim coach Rich Bisaccia, before the game, personally – handwrote letters to each of his players thanking them for their hard work. Wrote every player on the team a personal handwritten letter. Now, is that a good thing or a bad thing? Like, it's before the game. You're thanking them for their hard work before the game is played.
That's a good question. I don't think it hurts. And I think there is power in a handwritten letter.
Me too. And they don't happen very often anymore.
Yeah, the other day I needed to thank somebody for something, and I said to Lisa, should I email or send a letter? I feel like sending a letter. Lisa goes, no, email it. Nobody checks their mail anymore, which is maybe true, but I still think there's power in a handwritten letter.
Me too. Like every year at Christmas or my mom's birthday or whatever, I handwrite a note to her. The one thing I notice is my handwriting is I can't even read my handwriting after I've written because I'm so out of practice on handwriting.
Yeah, everybody
is. But a personally written, like, for example, after Lindsay Theory's wedding, I got a personally handwritten note from Lindsay. Thank you very much for coming and thank you for the gift and all that stuff. It means something to get a personally handwritten note. I think it's really classy on the part of Rich Bisaccia. And I think in honor of that, you should remember his name, whether he gets the job or not.
Oh, I do remember his name. I just keep mispronouncing it as a bit. But Rich Bisaccia has done a great job. I mean, you're right. That was a blank show from the beginning, from John Gruden being fired to Henry Ruggs ruining his life to actually killing someone.
Yep.
He's probably going to be in prison for, you know, his entire adult life. They actually had another guy who had an off-the-field incident that they had to cut.
Damon Arnett.
What was his name, Greg?
Damon Arnett.
And he was a former first
also in the
pick,
2020.
Right?
Yep. Yeah, in 2020 also.
Yeah, and so, I mean, you're right. The fact that they made the playoffs at all is good. Ramona,
now, do you think there's 0% chance he gets the job?
No, because, okay, so let's say they go after Harbaugh.
Yes, which Mike Florio says they're going after Harbaugh.
Right, and they don't get him.
Don't get him.
And then let's say they go after Doug Peterson and they don't get him.
Right.
I'd rather have Bisaccia than like some
Brian
schmo
Flores
off the street. I think Brian Flores is going to the Giants.
Boy, he's got an uphill climb there.
Yeah, I've got enough people telling me that, and he may bring Deshaun
Watson.
Who are
you? Like, who's telling you? Well, like, what people are telling you? What?
I am not at liberty. I am not at liberty to say.
Oh, come on! Who are these sources? Who are the sources on the New York Giants for you?
I will say this.
Yep.
They work at the NFL Network, and it's not Dave Singer.
Oh wow!
That's my source.
Hmm.
So if you want to go crawl through there and see if you can out my source, go ahead.
So, but, can we? I gotta go. I gotta bring it up. I have to.
What?
Friggin' that embarrassment of a game versus the Nuggets.
Oh, all right. So you want to go there? I was hoping we could. I could get an hour of football out of you before we went there. But I'll go there now if you want.
I mean, I sent a tweet out over the weekend, and it got like 196 replies or something like that. I'm like, oh yeah, no, people are fired up.
Well, here's what I would say, and what Mason's talking about is the Lakers went into Denver and got blown out by 37 points. And Denver was without Jamal Murray and without Michael Porter Jr. So you can't say that, you know, the Lakers didn't have Anthony Davis because two of the three best players on the Nuggets weren't there.
And they're an average team. I would say they're an upper half of the Western Conference
so
team.
Much so,
yep,
that the Lakers came in with a record of 21-21. And the Nuggets were 21-19 because they had two games canceled because of COVID. So they were both equally average, okay? And the game was not competitive. And I will, you know, you always say when you're sometimes in sports, sometimes when you talk about somebody having a personal problem in life,
yep,
that you can't straighten it out until you hit rock bottom.
Yep.
For me, that was rock bottom.
Okay. So, John, what do I always say? The one thing, I understand a bad performance. I understand mistakes. I understand the other team has just more talent than we do. What I don't understand, what I don't accept, is a lack of effort. And, you know, after that game, I was watching James Worthy, and James Worthy used the word effort like 6 times in his little
minute. And he held back.
Review.
I played golf with Worthy today. He held back. He says he's out of words to describe what's happening. And a lot of us are.
No excuse for a lack of effort. And they were sleepwalking through that game.
Normally.
Where is the defense? Where is the pride? Where is the intensity? Where is the passion? Where is the effort?
Normally, if you came out and said all this stuff, I would try and counterbalance you because I see the world through purple and gold colored glasses and I do all the games. I can't in this case. That game was so bad, Mace, that LeBron basically came out and apologized on Twitter.
Yeah, he says, I apologize and I promise we'll be better, purple and gold hearts.
And it does not get any easier tonight.
No, this is, in fact, this
by
team,
the way, by
Utah
the way,
blew out Denver by 20.
And by the way, so I try and do something, I try and walk or run or do something every time I'm on the road. So I'm on the road Saturday in Denver.
Right.
And I got my earbuds in. And I listened to the last hour of the show. And at some point you asked Bergman, who is the most overrated athlete in sports
today?
Yeah,
we did this. Most overrated athlete and most overrated actor. Actually, we got really good responses.
Greg, do you remember what you said?
Of course. I said Rudy Gobert, who had 18 points and 19 rebounds last night.
18 points, 19 rebounds, 7 of 7 from the field. I mean, why don't you just go put that up in his locker and give him a reason to kill us tonight?
Yeah, no, Rudy's actually listening to the producer of the Mason and Ireland show. I'm getting bulletin board
but
material.
But I'm shocked by that. He's not overrated.
Oh, yeah, he is.
Wait,
yeah, he is.
Greg. He won Defensive Player of the Year
he
in
shouldn't.
2018, 2019, and last year, 2021. He's been on 5 all-defense teams. He's the reason France is hard to knock out of the Olympics. What do you have against tall 7-foot Frenchmen?
Oh, that's right. It's a Lakers game day. Michael Thompson's here. MT.
Yeah.
Maybe he agrees with me. You agree with me, Michael?
Rudy Gobert overrated?
Yeah, he's the most overrated athlete in sports, according to Bergman.
No, Bergman, he's all right. I mean, he does. He's not.
He's not great.
No, he's not great. Like, I mean, when you compare him to the great centers that we've had throughout the league, Shaq and Robinson and Hakeem, you all know who they are. No, he doesn't have an offensive repertoire like this. But defensively, yeah, he's great defensively in the paint.
That's it, the paint.
Wait a minute,
just
guys.
The paint. Nowhere
he
else.
Leads the league in rebounding. He's averaging 15 rebounds a game.
Yeah, well, he's supposed to. He's 7'2".
Well, exactly. We've got 7-foot guys that aren't leading the league in rebounding.
That's true. Good point. But, no, he's good. He's good, Ireland. I would take him on my team any day, but I wouldn't classify him as a great player, but he's a good player.
Okay, tell you what. Hang on a second. MT's here. Mason and Ireland show. Getting ready for – this is the Rams pregame. We're on until 3:15 today. Coming up, I'll put that question to you guys. Who's the most overrated athlete in sports? And if you can think of, who's the most overrated actor in sports? We got tons and tons of replies on that on Twitter over the weekend. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, Michael Thompson's hanging out today because Lakers are playing the Jazz tonight. Oh, God. Here we go. I just threw out a question. We did this on Friday late in the show. Most overrated athlete, most overrated actor John, what comes to, I'll just tell you up front, here were our choices. Momo said Bryce Harper and Ben Affleck.
Well, wow, didn't Bryce Harper win MVP last
that's
year?
That's what I said, too. She said it doesn't mean anything because they didn't win. Here's Bergman, Rudy Gobert and Ben Affleck. Here's Lara, Russell Westbrook and Ben Affleck. People on this show
hate Ben Affleck.
I said Tony Romo and Jared Leto.
Tony Romo is not even playing in the league right now.
I know, but he's announcing, and I cannot stand him. Here's how bad it is. I cannot stand Tony Romo. He never shuts up. I had to turn over to the Nickelodeon feed where they were, like, sliming people when they scored a touchdown. The Nickelodeon feed was better than listening to Tony Romo for that game.
Hmm.
Overrated. So, Ireland, what about you?
All right. Athlete, and by the way, I don't like Michael. I had this conversation with Steve Hartman once, and there is an answer to this question. He is easily the most overrated athlete of all time, and it's weird that people idolize him as one of the greats. And you guys are gonna be surprised at the answer. It's Broadway Joe Namath. Have you guys ever looked this up?
Yeah. Very ordinary.
Joe
numbers.
Namath was 2-1 in the playoffs lifetime. And get a load of this. He has 50 more interceptions than touchdowns. Think about that. He has 50 more interceptions than touchdowns. And he's in the Hall of Fame. And most people, if you say, make a list of the 100 greatest quarterbacks of all time, 50 greatest quarterbacks, whatever, because he won that one Super Bowl, because he predicted he would beat the Colts, and because he played in New York, people think Joe Namath is like one of the great quarterbacks of all time. He's not. He's terrible. Statistically, you can't make an argument that Joe Namath was even a good quarterback.
I think you can make an argument that he was a good quarterback.
All right, make it.
He three times led the league in passing yards.
Okay.
As you said, each year
he threw more interceptions than touchdowns.
Didn't win the Super Bowl.
He did win the Super Bowl.
Okay. It was a different era where you didn't throw the ball as much.
Maybe 20 times a game.
He finished 173 touchdown passes and 220 interceptions. Yikes.
But he was a pure passer, man.
And he was a star.
You're too young.
Michael, he was a pure passer, and he threw it to the other team.
That's all right. No.
What do you mean it's all right? The whole goal is not to throw the interception.
No, you're too young.
Hey, you're too young.
You don't remember seeing Namath. I watched him play. He was the real deal.
Do you remember, John, who won the quarterback that won the Super Bowl after Joe Namath?
I'm trying to think.
Of course not. Joe Namath was an iconic star in the sport. That's one of the
reasons why he's
in the Hall of
Fame. Yeah, it was the AFL. The AFL was thought of as a junior league, and he came in and beat the mighty Colts. Oh, yeah, he was a real deal.
So that's Michael. Who's yours?
I'm a big fan of this guy, this athlete. Big fan. Okay. Love him. I watch him perform all the time. And Laura might get mad at me, and some of my Mexican-American allies out there, Mexican allies can get mad at me out there. But listen, you got to understand my love and my history and my knowledge of boxing.
Ooh.
Yep.
So, Laura, you know where I'm going with this?
I know.
I have three names, and I hope none.
You better not be picking on the golden boy, Michael.
I got to.
What?
He's frustrating me.
What?
Canelo. Listen, Canelo's really good.
He's awesome.
Borderline great. But what?
He's great.
But there are two things that irks me about Canelo Alvarez.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Oscar De La Hoya.
Oh, no. I respect Oscar. Oscar fought all the best. And that's what frustrates me about Canelo. Two things, Laura.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times he's compared to Hagler, Leonard Hearns, Duran, fighters of that era, fighters of that ilk. And what I loved about those guys, they fought their toughest opponents.
Mm-hmm.
They searched for who's the guy I think could beat me. Who's the guy people will say he could kick my you-know-what? I'm going to go fight that guy.
Right.
Canelo lost to the one great fighter he fought. You guys remember who that was, right?
Floyd.
Exactly. So, and I love Canelo. I watch all of his fights. But he frustrates me, Laura, because he's cherry-picking his opponents. He won't fight his toughest tests, who are David Benavidez, Arta Beterbiev, and Jamal Charlo. Those are the fights we want. I'm begging Canelo to fight.
Well, Michael, isn't that all a boxing
thank
right
you
now?
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah, I mean, isn't that the way the sport happens?
I don't understand that, guys, because here's the thing. It's like these boxers can't add. Why would I fight Steve Mason for $2 million if I can
like
fight John Ireland and make $20 million?
Yeah, that's the fight people want to see.
I don't understand this.
Mason will get in there with his 9 pins and a screw in his foot and
like
hobble
drop
around
you like a bag of rocks.
I just, I would stick Mason and then run around the ring
exactly.
And taunt him.
If Canelo fought David Benavidez in Texas Stadium, AT&T Stadium, they'd fill that. They'd get 200,000 people in there. So many Mexican Americans and Mexicans would be there, and Canelo could make $50 million for the fight. Now he still makes $30 million a fight. I understand that. But this is the fight that we are clamoring to see him fight, but he won't fight the best, and it's frustrating me, and that's why I call him overrated.
Okay.
But so, like the other great Mexican legend, Julio Cesar Chavez, didn't duck nobody.
He fought everybody.
Okay, do you guys have any idea, any thought on most overrated actor? Ireland, I'm sure you do.
I do. It's that guy, I don't understand. I just think he's really good looking, so they keep putting him in movies. But it's that guy in the Twilight movies. Robert Pattinson.
Robert Pattinson. You're talking about the Batman. He's going to play the Batman in March.
Yeah, Laura, what do you think?
Yeah, you have a good one.
Yeah. Man, the guy just stares at the camera and like pouts.
Bergman, don't you think he'll change his mind after the Batman does $150 million on opening weekend?
What makes you think?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. It's going to be awful. I don't trust it whatsoever.
It's going to be
great.
I'm
with Ireland. Robert Pattinson's a bad actor. I have not seen him do anything good.
All right, I will not go along with that. Michael, do you have an idea?
You know what that was code for, Greg? I will not go along with that until he appears on my podcast, and then I will go along.
No, when he does the Batman, I think you guys are all going. I think he's going to be a gigantic movie star. I think everybody's anticipating that movie. Bergman, I think you're wrong about it. Michael, do you have a most overrated actor?
Well, I think they're all good at what they do, but if you had to overrate someone for me, I mean, I guess I would say. John Cena. Man, I like Cena.
He's a good wrestler.
He's a good wrestler. He's a good actor. He's really
funny
in movies.
Did you hear Ramona's pick for that, Michael?
No, who?
Denzel.
Oh,
no,
come
she
on.
She backtracked. We made her backtrack.
But
on
how
that.
She even come up with that?
She was basing it on one Denzel movie called Fences, which I thought was really good, and she hated.
What?
He was nominated for Best Actor. I don't know what she had against Fences and August Wilson. I thought it was great. And now he's doing Macbeth. I mean,
it's between him, Tom Hanks, Sidney Poitier, and Jack Nicholson, who's the greatest actor ever.
He's Denzel.
And by the way, you got to put Meryl Streep on that list.
Well, actress. Right? Oh, I guess if you throw women in there too, of course.
Yeah. All right, coming up next, we're going to spin the wheel of questions. We are getting you ready for Rams-Cardinals tonight. By the way, if you want to jump in on the phones on any of this stuff, we're going to talk some more Lakers, 877-710-ESPN. How do you feel if you're a Rams fan? 877-710-ESPN. Who is the most overrated, just anything, most overrated athlete, most overrated actor, 877-710-ESPN. Mason in Ireland, 710-ESPN. All right, Matthew, tonight's your night, man. Playoffs, it's time.
Playoffs?
Flip the switch, Matthew. It's playoff, Matthew. All right. I hope playoff Matthew.
Playoff Matthew is 0-3. You don't want playoff Matthew.
I hope it's better than second half of the season, Matthew. All right. This Wheel of Questions brought to you by Puente Hills Toyota. If you got a car just sitting around not doing anything, bring it to Puente Hills Toyota today for a free cash offer. Puente Hills Toyota is the house of yes. Laura, let's give her a spin. Okay, this is good. Michael, I'm not sure if can answer this one or not. I think everybody else can. Who wins a fight between Jason Bourne and John Wick? Who wins a fight between Jason Bourne and John Wick?
Oh, John Wick.
John Wick would win. Yeah, John Wick, he's killed guys with a pencil, with his shoe. Right.
Did you see how Boban died in the last John Wick?
Yeah, didn't he throw a pencil in his neck?
No, very first scene, he shoves it's in a library, he shoves a library book into his mouth and snaps his neck.
John Wick has killed way more people than Jason Bourne, so I think that the odds would heavily favor John Wick.
Doesn't Jason Bourne have some sort of supernatural powers?
Doesn't matter. John Wick's dodged thousands of bullets.
Jason Bourne is just kind of like James Bond. He doesn't have any superpowers. He's just an agent.
Yeah.
Bergman, does Jason Bourne have superpowers?
I don't remember him having powers. I mean, they did like tests on him, I believe, in the first couple of them, where he didn't remember anything. That was
right. He doesn't remember anything. That's true.
Well, right, but John Wick is absolutely going to anybody that goes after anybody because of their dog. I would not trust that person. Yeah. You go after it's John Wick.
Yeah, John you know, there Wick are people that won't watch John Wick movies because they killed a dog on camera in the first one.
Well, I walked out of the first one. I couldn't because on top of everything else, it wasn't just a dog. It was a beagle, and I have a beagle. It just so –
yeah.
That and is, I had no idea it was coming.
They didn't show the killing, though, did they?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you watch – I started Yellowstone. Very first scene. I'm not spoiling it for anybody, I don't think. But it's
first
the very
scene
first
of the
scene
first episode?
Of the first episode. Kevin Costner kills a horse. I'm like, that is a terrible way to start it. Why do you start a series like that? He offs a horse like in the opening sequence of the movie, of
yeah,
the show.
People love Yellowstone, though.
Yeah, and people love Yellowstone. It's really good. I'm a couple episodes in now. It's really good. All right, so yesterday, Donna Kelsey, who's a mom with kids on both the
yeah,
Philadelphia
Jason,
Eagles.
Her older son Jason is on the Eagles, and her younger son Travis is the tight end for the Chiefs.
And God bless her, she found a way to go to both games yesterday.
How?
She was in Tampa for the Philly-Tampa game, mm-hmm. got on a plane, flew to Kansas City, and got. Remember, there was a game in between. Got there in time for the Pittsburgh-Kansas City game.
Nice. What's so big deal about that?
Well, it's an incredible achievement.
Well, her sons are making like $20 million a year. They can afford it.
Here is – now, afterwards, the mom, Donna, actually crashed Travis Kelce's Zoom press conference afterwards.
We'll go first to Donna Kelce.
I'm sorry, what?
You know, yes, it's your mom.
What's up, Mom? I'm glad you made it. Now,
yeah, I know. I actually made it at a disappointing Tampa game. This was an elation to see you get a touchdown in a playoff game. I mean, oh, my gosh, how good did that feel? How good did that feel after all these years?
Oh, man. To finally throw a touchdown, like I used to tell my mom when I was like 5 years old, I was going to eventually throw a touchdown in the National Football League. I finally got it done. It only took me 9 years. That's a good question, though, Mom.
Yeah, that's awesome. It was so fun, and that's what makes sports so great, because you can be depressed in the morning and elated in the evening. So
there you go. Glad I could put a smile on your face. Love you, Mom.
Yeah, you too. Love you, too.
That's a pretty good day for a mom. I lost the first one, but won the second one and got to see Travis do that for the first time.
Yeah, it was cool. But it's not so shocking that she can make two games. It's called Jet Travel Mace.
And was there a question there?
No. Yeah, what was it like to throw your first touchdown pass?
No, but for Wheel of Questions, was there a question?
Yeah, it was John Wick versus Jason Bourne.
Oh, okay. That was Wheel of Questions.
Yeah, we got
you pivoted out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I pivoted out of it. Because everybody seemed to agree
Wick
that John Wick would win. That was my answer.
The question is, who would win between Wick and James Bond?
Wick.
Oh, Wick.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, Wick would kick the snot out of James Bond.
I thought James had better gadgets, though.
Well, Daniel Craig James Bond would be a battle.
Ooh, that'd be close.
That's what I mean. Yeah,
Daniel Craig James Bond. But I think – now, I guess they're the same age. They're both like 50-something years old. I think Keanu is my age. He's 56. And I think Daniel Craig is somewhere in there,
too. When is it too old to still be a cool secret agent? What age do you age out?
I don't know. Roger Moore and Sean Connery kind of were still cool pretty late.
Liam Neeson was pretty cool late. He's a particular set of skills. Mm-hmm. He was still good and tough into his 60s. So I think you can do it for a while. Yeah, Sean Connery.
So
did
you
it
can't
for
be
while.
Like the Stones and be doing it when you're 80.
No, my God, I know somebody who just saw the Stones. They said just as lively as ever. You know, Charlie Watt died, but still, Mick Jagger, Keith Richards, still. Like completely on it.
So
completely
one,
on it. They
one of my favorite
so for
one of
months.
My favorite movies of all time is Almost Famous, the Cameron Crowe movie about a mythical band. And so there's people forget Jimmy Fallon is in that movie. He halfway through the movie, the band, which is called Stillwater, is starting to make it big, and the record company sends Jimmy Fallon, who's a better manager than the guy they have. The guy they have has been with them since they were teenagers, and he doesn't know anything. So they bring in Jimmy Fallon, and he pitches them on why they should fire their manager and hire him. And one of the things he says is, and I wonder if Cameron Crowe put it in there just as a laugh, says to the Stillwater guys, you got to make money now while you're hot. Because if you think Mick Jagger's going to be out there strutting around with the Rolling Stones in his 50s, you got another thing coming.
Oh, wow. Missed that one.
Yeah. And Mick Jagger's doing it when he's 80.
Yeah.
Hey, let's jump to the phones. Let's go to Fernando, I think in Long Beach. Fernando, you're on 710. What's up?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I really appreciate it.
Hey, Fernando.
Sure, man.
Hey, so just real quick, I want to get this out here. I just got home from a 10-month deployment, and you guys were my lifeline to LA sports.
Nice.
For the last
Where were you deployed, Fernando?
I was over in Kuwait, and I spent a little time in Iraq as well. But wow. The whole time I was over there, I was listening to you guys on ESPN and everything. So thanks for keeping me up to date on everything. I just really appreciate it.
Absolutely, man.
Hey,
thank
you
for
your service,
yeah.
man. Thanks yeah. for doing that.
When you were over there, what was the main thing you missed that you could get here every day? besides
palm trees, grass, temperature under 100 degrees. Wow. I mean, like, it was insane.
Fernando,
like,
it says here on my screen that you're going to the Ram game tonight.
Yep, I'm going. I made it just in time, guys. I got back just in time, and I got tickets. I've never been to SoFi. I'm so excited. I can't wait. I'm already in my gear. Like, I'm ready to go.
Nice.
All right, have fun tonight, man.
Thank you, Mason. Hopefully I'll see you there.
I will see you there, man.
Look for the guy with one eyebrow.
Yeah, I'm the one with one eyebrow. That's me. Thanks, Fernando, and thanks again for your service.
No, thank you. And, hey, I was tracking that thing the whole time with your fantasy football team. You were doomed from the start.
I tried to tell him, Fernando.
Yeah, I was doomed.
Put all his eggs in Jalen Hurts' basket, I said, oh, no, it's happening again. Last place,
Yep,
Mace.
And you know what? Not to flex on you, Mace, but I won for the second year in a row, so
wow,
I can give you some tips.
Well, I'll need your tips for this next year, man.
So, Michael, think about that. Mason, all he had to do was not finish last in a 12-team league, and with all the great quarterbacks in the NFL, he hitched his fortunes to Jalen Hurts.
Oh, and I love Jalen Hurts, and I wouldn't have done that, Mace.
Jalen Hurts had a great – Jalen Hurts wasn't my problem. Mm-hmm. Jalen Hurts actually had a really good fantasy fantasy year. Mm-hmm. It was everybody else that killed me. Jalen Hurts was actually okay. Christian McCaffrey, I once again have the number one pick in the draft this next year.
Well,
over the weekend.
What are you going with?
Well, you might not have it, Mace, because they put in the Mason rule.
Yeah, we already did that part.
You got the number one pick again?
Yeah, and I think if I was to make the pick now, I would go with Jonathan Taylor.
Probably safe.
Yeah, who knows?
Yeah, Michael would take Lamar Jackson.
I love Lamar, but no, because you need someone who's going to put up a lot of yards and TDs, right?
Yeah, it's really hard to get good running backs.
Take Debo. He had 14 TDs.
Can't take a 49er. Cannot.
Oh, that's probably true.
Can't live with that. All right, let's get another call. Hang on a second. John, where are we going? You're on there.
Joel in Sylmar. Hey, there Joel, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. Long-time listener, first time calling in.
Thanks, man.
Glad to have you.
Thank you. So I'm Mexican-American. I love boxing, and I could not agree more with Michael Thompson.
Really?
Canelo's overrated. Oh. Yes, he has dodged fighters left and right. Yeah, I don't know if you guys know, that's why the lawsuit happened with Golden Boy, where he got out. Golden Boy wasn't able to provide the fights because Canelo didn't want to take him. He was hiding from the good fighters. Another name Michael forgot to mention is Demetrius Andrade.
Yeah.
He stormed one of his press conferences, and Canelo blew him off. Oh, get out of here.
Yeah.
You know, and I know Laura said, boxing is dead. No, it's not. Alexander Usyk.
I never said that.
Not out of Anthony Joshua.
Yeah.
Well, you said all the fighters suck. And then Terrence Crawford.
Wasn't the only one.
Why is Spence running? Terrence Crawford.
Exactly.
I know you know what I'm talking about, Michael.
Oh, yeah, buddy.
Thank you, guys.
All right. See
all
you
right. Yeah, thanks very much. I'm a big boxing fan.
That man knows his boxing. And I tell you, Canelo is a Mexican icon. And he's good. And I'm a fan of his. I like to watch him fight. But it's just frustrating when they won't fight each other.
Michael, I think what Laura and I both said was that doesn't every fighter duck every other great fighter? It's like the it's
like the way the sport is constructed.
Yeah.
Lately, Ireland, you're right about it. It's very frustrating for us boxing fans, like me and I'm the last buddy caller there, that we want to see the best fight the best, like how it used to be 15, 20, 30 years ago of today's fighters, which I don't understand, guys. They're horrible at economics. Why fight opponent B for $1 million instead of opponent A for $10 million? I don't get it. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Sports change.
Sadly,
I'm not agreeing with how it is. I'm just saying they change. Look at how the NBA has changed, too. Like, every sport has changed.
Here's the problem with boxing today, guys. And I know you guys want to talk about it, but here's the problem with boxers today. They have an O on their record. They're afraid to lose that. If they get a loss, they act as if their career is over. Don't they realize that Ali lost 5 fights?
Yep.
Ray Robinson, the greatest fighter who's ever lived, lost 14 fights, and they still consider him the greatest ever. They're afraid to, like, if I get a loss on my record,
point,
I'm done.
Actually.
Yeah.
Oscar De La Hoya, he lost a bunch of fights, but we respect him so much because he lost to other great fighters.
All right. There's boxing for today.
Understand when you go to the bar? Oh yeah, you don't go to the barbershop. Yeah, yeah. You go to the salon.
No, I go to a salon.
When you go to the barbershop, the only thing they talk about are 3 things: women, boxing, and football or basketball. That's it.
Yo, the salon is lit, and we talk about very similar things.
You do?
Sure.
Women?
I'm sure.
The salon mm-hmm. is
really.
Lit.
The salon is lit. All right, hang on a second, everybody. Coming up next, I want to get to. Obviously, it's Rams pregame. We got pregame for Rams Cardinals wild card game coming up for you at 3:15. In the meantime, Magic Johnson has tweeted very controversial tweet over the weekend, and I want to get John and Michael's reaction to it. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.